Is that good?
Yep. Well, for those of you that were here on Tuesday, the Lord brought me to the book, The Power of Faith, and we talked about faith must be tested. So I had not read the next chapter, but Susan took my book. So I was on Amazon, and this popped up under orders, and I just said, okay, I'm going to get another copy in case. So I thought, oh, so as I picked it up, I need to read the next chapter. So as I read the chapter, I texted Peggy, and I said, we need to hear the next chapter. So to those of you that were here and thought that Tuesday's message was a little rough, this one is by far rougher. Derek Prince wrote this from a position of having his faith tested. He was in a hospital, because he was in a hospital during World War II, and realized his faith was not where it should be. And he began to pray, and as a result of what he went through, he wrote the book. So I will go as slowly as I can. This is a lot to digest in this chapter, but it definitely, after the chapter on faith must be tested, it definitely brings us to the next place that God would have us. So it's based on a very long scripture, but I will read it slowly. It's from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So this, Derek Prince, begins to break this down into what God is speaking to us about the measure of faith. And the first thing, of course, it says here is, I urge you, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, obviously it's referring to what he just talked about. And in the book of Romans, this is referring back to all that Paul had been saying in the previous 11 chapters of Romans. So in chapters 1 through 8, he explains how Christ, through his death on the cross, made a complete and final atonement for sin. And then in chapters 9 through 11, he dealt with the stubbornness and blindness of Israel. So having thus gone through all that, Paul now says, therefore, in light of all that God has done for us, what is our spiritual service? What is the very least that God can ask of each one of us? It is that we offer him our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, that we lay ourselves totally and without reserve on God's altar. I don't know about you, but that's an extreme challenge. So when Paul spoke of a living sacrifice, he was contrasting our sacrifice with the sacrifices made in the Old Covenant, which obviously the animals were killed. Well, we're not killed, but we certainly die the death of all of our old nature or old sin and give ourselves in total surrender to him. So this opens, when we agree to the scripture, and that opens up a way that leads us into the center of God's will for each one of us. And the first step is that we begin to change our whole lifestyle. I don't know how many of you have begun that. I have, and I'm finding it quite difficult. Needless to say, you all know my lifestyle has totally changed anyway since June, so that really fit me. But I am finding that to be quite difficult. We cease to be conformed to this world, and then we are transformed. Now, we don't follow a set of rules. It has nothing to do with our external contract. It comes from an inner change inside each one of us as we change our minds. So everything changes from our attitudes, our values, and our priorities. So earlier in the book of Romans, Paul had taught that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. So this term carnal mind refers to the way that it has become natural for all of us to think. One of the things that with me, with my natural mind, as I was a doer, and doing had become a lifestyle for me. But that's not God's lifestyle. Doers are not. I'm a bee. I'm a new creation in Christ. I have found that my soul keeps trying to interfere with that direction, that old nature still wants to do. I will be very thankful. The Spirit does continue to come up and break that, but it is quite a process. And I now know that is that enmity with God. So in our human relationships, which all of us have, we never reveal to any person that we know is an enemy what is important or precious to us. The same is true of God. As long as our minds remain at enmity with him, which I just showed, he just told you how that is, that as we hold on to that which is in our old nature, we are at enmity with God. And there are many precious and wonderful things he wants to reveal, but he will not, because the mind is at enmity with him. So once our minds are reconciled to God by an act of our surrender of all of that old stuff, they are no longer at enmity with him, but we can now become renewed by the Holy Spirit. Just the other day, I would say probably 2 days ago, I got through with my morning worship, and I hear, "What are you expecting?" My normal thing has been that when I get up, my body's going to hurt because I've been challenged in my knees. And I sat there and I went, that's an enmity with God. That's not what God says. So I started to change my mouth. And I said, I am not expecting pain. That doesn't mean it went away. It means my mouth is changing, yep, and I'm bringing myself more in line,
yep,
with what God is saying. I repented, I apologized, and I said, Lord, I am sorry. You're right. I was expecting it to hurt when I stood up. Mm-hmm. I am finding this is getting a little easier. So as we allow our minds to be revealed, at this point, renewed, God can start to reveal His will to each one of us. His special plans. And those plans become renewed in three phases. The first one, as we see in Romans 12:2, is God's will is good. We discover that He wants only what is good for us. Took me a long while to digest that for a long time, because of things that happened to me in my younger days. I didn't believe that. But I have come to recognize that that's truth. And that He does only want good for me. Then in the second phase, God's will is acceptable. The better we understand it, in other words, the more we accept what He's saying, the more ready we are to accept it. And then in the third phase, God's will is perfect. It is complete, all-embracing, making total provision for every area of our life. When we reach this point, our minds have been renewed to the perfect will of God. We do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I did have a challenge this week where there was an area that the Holy Spirit showed me where I was thinking incorrectly when my husband was going through much of his bondage. And the problem was I was thinking more of myself than I was of his bondage. That was a very difficult day to go through, because the enemy really would like to have trapped me in guilt. And I got very, very blessed, because that same day I received a mailing from Joseph Prince. And in that mailing, it took me to Ephesians 1:7 that assured me every sin has been dealt with, every sin is gone, and I am forgiven of every sin. And that would include that sin that I had done. And I could feel the freedom, just feel that new freedom. So I've been digesting that scripture. There again, my mind is being renewed by that scripture as I keep going back to it. So we are no longer proud, and we're no longer self-seeking. We no longer open to flights of fancy, whatever that might be. We become sober and realistic, and this is when we cultivate sound judgment. We begin to have the mind of Jesus, who said to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." God's plan and purpose now becomes more important to us than our plans. Then next, and this is following that scripture in the beginning of Romans 12, God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. Whether you know it or not, you've received it. But it is not for us to determine how much faith we should have.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Whoa.
That's interesting.
Hmm. God has already measured it for us and allotted to each of us the amount we need.
Of course.
So what standard does God use to measure how much faith we need? Paul answered that in verses 4 through 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body of Christ, and individually members one of another. So as Christians, not just our church, but let's just take it right here, we make up the complete body of Christ. So each one of us is a particular member with a specific place and a specific function. Now, if you want to look at your human body, one's a nose, one's an ear, one's an eye, one's a foot, one's a hand, so you begin to get the point that Paul is making here. And in the book of Corinthians, chapter 12 through 28, Paul deals with that more fully as he compares our human body to the body of Christ. If you want to take a look at that, it might help you better understand. So God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body. Now get this, just as he desired. None of us can choose our own place or function in the body. All we can do is find and fill the place that God has appointed to each one of us. And in doing this, it requires our mind to be renewed. Paul goes on to point out that because of this, we are all interdependent on each other. None of us is free to do just as he pleases without regard to the other members. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. The head is the highest member, which is Christ himself. The feet are the lowest members at the opposite end of the body, yet we cannot function without the feet. We can't do without them. In light of this, we see why Paul said that in order to find our places in the body, we must not think too highly of ourselves, but learn to be sober and realistic. This picture of the body enables us to understand what Paul meant by measure of faith. So each of us is a member in the body with a specific function. And in order to fulfill that function, we need a specific measure of faith. This type of faith is needed by each member is going to vary. Each one of you, the measure of faith that you're going to receive for your function is going to be different. You're not going to get the same measure as the person sitting next to you. Because an eye needs eye faith, a hand needs hand faith, a foot needs foot faith, and they're not interchangeable. The faith that enables a hand to function will not do for the foot. The faith that enables an eye to function will not do for the ear. So each member must have its own specific measure of faith. So once we have found our appointed places in the body and are functioning there with our appointed measure of faith, I told you this one is a hard chapter, we are ready for the next phase. Whoops, there's more. So all of that comes first before God's provision of his gifts. So each one of us has gifts. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly to the proportion of his faith. Paul has quite a list of gifts, and it is up to each one of us to learn from the Lord what is our gift. So let's look carefully here at what Paul is speaking, because it's a very important principle. Placement in the body comes before gifts. So whatever your place is, as you learn that and learn to function in that place, it comes before your gift. I know, and I've done it myself, many Christians can get a little preoccupied with their gifts and ministries. And sometimes people think they can choose them. You do not get to choose. It is true that God has said, desire the greater gifts. But it is significant in that chapter, that's in 1 Corinthians, that God did not tell us what the greater gifts are. There's no standard. The value of the gift is relative to our place in the body. The gift that enables me and you to fulfill your appointed function from God is your greater gift. My greater gift is no different than your greater gift. It's according to your function and the gift God gives you to have that function operate by the measure of faith he gives us. So we need to heed the warning, sound judgment. And needless to say, it goes without saying, we don't get to get preoccupied of decide what gifts we would like to have. We don't get to pick, we don't get to choose. It's already been determined. God has done this for us, for his purpose and his plan. He created us, he knows which each one of us have been given and how to cause that to function. So once each one of us has settled the question of place, it's my place, and function in that place, then the needed gifts come into operation. Can't do it in the reverse. It doesn't go well. But once you do it in that order that God has ordained, your gifts begin to operate effortlessly and spontaneously, with no effort. So, that's a lot of stuff, so let me summarize it very quickly. First, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Through this act of surrender, our minds become renewed by the Holy Spirit. As we go through this surrender and change our lifestyle, we are transformed. And with our renewed minds, we are able to find out the will of God for our lives. First, good. Second, acceptable. And third, perfect. God's will fits us into our appointed places in the body of Christ, and then we can function in that place. It is through this that we discover that God has given each of us a measure of faith, exactly in proportion to our place and function in the body. So whatever that place or function is for you, the measure of faith God gives you for it You don't need to be concerned about it. He's already given, you have his word. And as we do that, the gifts come into operation, and each one of us can operate in that gifting, again, by the measure of faith that God has given to us. Some of this, I feel like, I mean, that's a lot to digest. I have to admit, as I read that, it's like, wow. Mm. My soul was having a Lizzie Tisch fit. The more sensitive we become to the radar of God's rhema, that's a special word, Joe, that he speaks to each one of us personally, the more surely and easily we will be guided to our appointed places and function. Now he uses this analogy. Finding our place is like an airplane landing accurately on the runway. Hearing the radar will bring us exactly to where we're supposed to be, just like an airplane. Therefore, as we continue to hear each new rhema that comes from God, we are enabled to stay in our place and function there. The fact that God has allotted to each of us a specific measure should not mean that our faith remains static. As our ability to function in that place and gift, your faith will grow. It keeps going stronger in proportion as you grow. More faith produces more increased function in your place. Faith is not a commodity that we can buy or barter. Rather, it is an expression of our relationship to God. Our faith enabled us to take the place and fulfill the functions God has ordained for each one of us, and that faith for each one of us is extremely personal. My faith won't work for you, and your faith won't work for me. Each one of us has our own measure. I think at that point, there's a little bit more in this chapter, but that's a lot to try to digest. That's a lot to come to understand. But I believe if this has touched your heart, you go back to Romans 12, verses 1 through 8, and you can see the succession there and begin to grasp what God is saying to each one of us about our function and place in the body of Christ and how to function and our gifting in that place. So I will end there from what I've grasped from this chapter, and I'm certainly open if anybody has a piece here that they would like to add or feel that it adds to that, maybe from your own personal experience. I shared a couple of things for myself. That's fine. Yeah, Sammy?
As you were speaking, Lord brought back John 15. And I heard this song called I Am a Friend of God, and I heard that's the goal.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any piece? Yeah, you're very quiet.
We're sucking it all in and taking it in. No, it's hard to digest.
It's a lot to digest. It is. It's a lot. You know, one of the things that it did for me is, for some reason, I thought the gifts were before function.
Well, that's what you're taught. That's what you're taught in most churches.
You got it. Yeah.
Got to get your gift.
Exactly.
Got to get your gift, and then you can function.
Right.
Yeah. And you get your gift,
but that is not,
and then you can go do what you got to do.
But that's not what this says.
No, and you can,
it's very clear.
And as you read it in Scripture, you're like, oh, really? It's the revelation.
You function in your place, and then the gift comes.
Yeah, and it's funny. Well, it's interesting as far as, like, just, you know, you read Scripture over and over and over again, and then when you get that revelation, you realize it's not that he's right. It's the Spirit that is leading him to truth that opens your eyes to say, oh, that's how we're supposed to apply and function and do the things we need to do. And now, I mean, now I see that position of the church where we're all mucked up. Because we're all trying to go and fit in this position of doing stuff. I gotta find my gift. And I mean, you go anywhere, and it's not knocking others, but you go anywhere, and the first thing they have is, what's your gift? Let's help you fill out this 25-page book and to find out your gift.
That's true. That's so true.
It's find your gift.
And it's out of order.
It's out of order. It's completely out of order.
Totally out of order.
We're frustrated and saying, well, why isn't the Lord moving? Well, because, again, it's like putting that cart before the horse.
Yep.
You know, we're sitting there, the horse is pushing the cart. It's like, something's wrong here. You know, really. And we're wondering, saying, why, Lord, why, you know, and I, as, you know, as you read it, and I see that more and more, and where I, even myself personally, where I came from. And I always felt, when people came up with this idea, these surveys of your gift, my spirit was like, something's wrong here. Mm. You know, as far as that old Sesame Street, one of these things doesn't belong here. No, but that serious part of, you know, I keep hearing nothing but the blood. It's the blood that flows, that gives the body, as far as the energy and the specific parts it needs. If you need a little more strength, there's more blood that goes to the hand. You know, as far as that position, if you need to do things, the blood moves, and that's the life. You know, and that position of love. A lot of us, you know, we kind of, I'll say for myself, I feel like the church has bypassed love. Hmm. And that place of, well, you know, we'll get there eventually. But is, you know, is it, and the greatest of these is love. Amen. And that point of, wait, are we loving people to help them not find a gift, but help them to rest in what the Lord has ordained, as it says, look, he's ordained.
It's very specific.
You're ordained for.
I hope this does set some of you free from that.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. No.
Very, very definitely, that you don't have to get focused on that gift.
It's such an eye-opening.
Yeah,
because again, coming from a, and this is going to sound harsh, but coming from a Pentecostal background, where it's, gotta get your gift, and me playing in churches for 20 plus years. Oh, that's your gift, so focus on the gift.
Right.
Wait, though, but I'm out of order. You're so focused on a gift that you completely just overlook the position in which the Lord has ordained for me to fit in. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, well, your gift is this, so you've got to fit there.
That's it.
That's exactly where you fit. You don't go anywhere else. You stay right here because that's your gift.
Right.
I mean, it's like, wait, like, I see that now in myself as I hear it, and I see personally my position that the Lord has put me in is to be as far as an encourager. And it's a wild place because, again, focus so much on my gift of you just play that music so wonderfully. So you stay right here.
Right.
You don't do anything else but that.
Right. That's right.
Not realize exactly. Nothing but the tunnel vision.
Yeah. Right.
And then seeing now, as far as in the last year or 2 years of going through this, or 3 years of going through this up and down position, the Lord's like, yeah, but your position, I put you specifically in a position of encouragement and to evangelize in a totally different way. than everybody could ever possibly think.
That's right.
Not stand on a stage in front of, you know, people that already know.
Not
you know, it's you get out there in a and stand literally in a plaza where people are walking by and they're hearing you, and let me do the work that needs to be done.
Yep.
You know, and you're like, whoa, that's completely different. But I'm going to use, again, because now that you found your position, I'm going to use that gift of music to do that, which is completely different.
That's right.
You're grasping what he's saying.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's the truth. Like, whoa, because, again, for 20-some-odd years, it was get on a stage, you play, you make us all feel good, yippee-yahoo, now get down and go sit down and don't say nothing to nobody else.
Right, right.
You close your mouth and do what's new. But the last 3 years of your position is to encourage and to evangelize and to build others up and to, shall we say, give them hope, not according to your words, but according to my word, his word. You know, I have to share this. And I went out last night. I got them playing. Well, it started with last week. There, a woman, I was playing out in Staples on Boston Road, and the owner of a restaurant came to me, and she said, last week, she said, you know, would you like to play at my restaurant? And this was last week, and I said to her, I said, I will, but the Holy Spirit put on me, do it this coming week, because she wanted me to do it that, you know, as far as that Friday, and that weekend. I said, the Holy Spirit said, no, stop, pause. You're not ready. You just go, just doing something new.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, can we wait till next week? She said, sure. So I went yesterday, last night, and I played at the restaurant. And it was wild because my friend reached out to me Friday, and she said, I'm having a get-together at my house from 6 p.m. to 2 in the morning. And she said, and I'd love for you to come. And I said, okay. And I thought to myself, you know, the restaurant, they wanted me to play from 7 to 9:30. And I said, well, I'll come after the restaurant. But first, I was a little bit unsure. And I'll tell you, this whole COVID thing has got me like, whatever. I don't care about it. But I tell you, the forces of darkness are being like, no, no, go. Don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. And I'm like, stop, 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 stop. Like, I really had to push it aside.
Yeah.
And I just was like casting down the imagination. Just like, no, no, no. So I get done playing. And I go to my friend's house. And there's this young man there. No, it's funny, because I'm not that old, but then you start realizing the position. No, I'm not. You realize that, yeah, there's a young guy, like, literally, when you can look back and say, I remember 20, whoa! I mean, it's not being just that position of, wow, I'm not old, I'm just not as young as I thought.
Revelation.
Yeah, exactly. So we sit there, and this young man, and again, I wasn't planning on going. And I get there, and everybody's been drinking. And they're, you know, they didn't pace themselves, so they're all, well, they're all, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like, ugh. And it was wild because there was a point in, it was very interesting because two things had happened. There was a girl that was not feeling well, and she was very, like, just kind of like, whoa. And everybody else is kind of like, oh, just let her rest. I'm like, Holy Spirit's like, you need to get her some water. Like, you need to help because this position of these people are so, they're so out of themselves. And they think, oh, yeah, just let them do whatever you want.
Should be fine, yeah.
Yes, they're fine, just leave them there. And I was like, no, Holy Spirit's like, you need to get in there. And I was like, you know, kind of, we got her up and, you know, she puked and it was like, okay, but we helped, you know, but that position of me showing up and encouraging, you know, just being the way I could be.
That's right.
And so that was the first thing. And I was like, okay, Lord. And then the second thing was interesting because there was a young man, his name is Chris. And be praying for Chris. Because he and I were, you know, we're all talking about the positions of just life and how he's a young kid and he's trying to help his mom and just a lot of, you know, tension and things like that. And just feeling very alone. And I said to him, I said, Chris, you know, just there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit put on me. And he said to me this, he said, you spending this, the 15 minutes or so just sharing, he said, you shared with me in the 15 minutes of than I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Yep, look
that. I'm like, whoa. He says, you've given me more as far as insight about my life and how I'm supposed to conduct myself than I've gotten in the 21 years I've run life in 15 minutes. He said, thank you so much.
Wow.
I was like, whoa.
Right.
And like, you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is you.
Yeah.
Because that one of, he's like, the words that you're speaking, they're giving me so much life.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what in the, right. You know? But, and it was wild too, because as he's saying this to me, I pull out a card and I gave it to him. I said, and if you ever need somebody to talk to, you call me. He says, you mean I can call you anytime? I said, yeah. He said, oh my gosh, seriously? I'm like, yes, Chris, you can call me anytime. He says, because, you know, sometimes I just need help. I just need someone to just give me the guidance in my life. And he says, and you're in the 15 minutes that we talk, he's like, oh my gosh, you've just, again, enlightened me so much. And it brings confirmation to what you're talking about, Gail, and that position, mm-hmm. or that focus of, this is your position. Don't worry about your gift. Your position was to go at 12:30 at night to a place where there's seven drunk people, and they can't, you know, they're all and to go and just sit with them. And I think about the scripture where, as far as the Pharisee says, this is the Son of Man. He sits with drunkards and, you know, and harlots and sinners.
That's right.
And it's like, I felt like as I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, you know, I sat down, had a drink, had a beer, and just sat with them. And they were just like, oh, wow, like that level of love.
Yeah,
show the love of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones that need the help.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and so it's just confirming that focusing on the position versus the gift. Because here's the, if this was 20 years ago, the gift would have said, now you got to go to bed early. You can't hang out with those people because you got to get up and you got to go play someplace.
Right.
You know, you got to be on your game because you have to remember, think mm-hmm. about your gift.
Your schedule.
Is anybody else having the same experience? Is anybody else relating here to?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm going to shut up. Sorry.
No. I mean, I'm hoping that it's registering.
Sure.
Yeah. And the rest of us.
That was like he was supposed to be there. You were supposed to go. Mm-hmm. And now you know why.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. But he put it, he realized what his function is.
Right, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't his gift.
Right. It wasn't to go there and play the sax, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
For that 15 minutes you spent with this person,
yes.
To you, maybe you didn't realize how big of a deal it meant, but to him it made sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the function. Yeah. Well, I think Sammy's tasted a lot of that. Mm-hmm. The place that God has called her to. She's been doing ministry. You've been using your gift in the place he's called you to be. You know, and that's beginning, and that shows you in the body of Christ, that's exactly what we do. And I'm sure you have too. Yeah. So this is just reiterating to you and strengthening what God is saying and what it means with the measure of faith. So I don't need the measure of faith that he got to do that.
Yeah.
I need my measure of faith, mm-hmm. which is different.
That's good to know.
For what God is calling me to do.
That's right.
And each one of you the same, but you need to find your function first before you get into that gift.
I think for me what came in was character above giftedness. Mm. And like that idea of like, you know, the Lord building you first and that identity, you know, and then revealing that. And to me, Joey, as you were speaking, that's what I saw for you. Because it wasn't so long ago that I remember you came in. And for whatever reason, I was struck by you coming through the door, and the Lord said, he's a new man. Amen. And I think you're seeing that new walk as well.
Amen.
Amen.
I do help this helps to encourage and strengthen each one of you. And go back to that scripture to renew your mind.
Yeah.
And find out what God is saying you in the proper order and why he orders it that way. There's a reason why God orders
and
it that way.
And obey it.
You know, and that's right, and it'll flow.
Yeah, learn to accept it. Yeah.
I just want to say something before everybody goes. There is cheesecake back here,
whoa.
So everybody is like more than welcome. Please help yourself. I brought it. It's no special reason why. I just brought it. So
that was your function.
Exactly.
Actually, I will be honest and tell you that I meant to come. But I just had so much stuff going on at my house and with the new baby and whatever, just stuff that the Lord just said, no, Lisa, you know, you're going to be okay. You'll be all right. You'll get there when I say you're going to go back, pretty much. So, yeah, but just a lot of things going on. But I had this thought go through my head during the month of July, and I think we had a fellowship lunch that month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is what I meant to bring. So here she is, a little delayed, but there it is.
I want to hear something funny about cheesecake. Three Rivers Restaurant down street, used to be Dominic's.
Yeah, oh, Dominic's, yeah.
Okay. Sada yeah. and Juan have the little restaurant inside that. They are adorable people, and they make empanadas, all that kind of stuff, but she makes amazing cheesecakes.
Wow.
Well, yesterday I happened to go in there because I was told she made homemade whoopie pies, and I would go in there on my way to work, and I'd get a whoopie pie for myself and for Matt, and on the way to work, and she had cheesecake in there, and I said, wow. Not today, not today, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, you mean this bar?
The here cheesecake. We go.
Thank you, thank you, Lisa.
Flag on there, so we talk about freedom.
Yeah, you there know, you go.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, it's nice to see you back.
Thank you. Praise God. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely. Yep.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Heart's always here.
I love all you guys and missed everybody, but I just had some stuff that
we missed you.
Was just really pressing me to do before winter came, and it had to be done while I had the man hands to help me. You know, do it, and yeah, so praise God, but yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, I didn't bring any cheesecake, but if anybody wants any cucumbers, I brought a bag from my garden there. So.
Oh, oh, yeah.
There's cucumbers over there. Take as many as you want, take them all.
All right.
That is good as cheesecake.
Thank you for the roast.
It's just as good, you know, some people are working on that.
Yeah.
Thank you all. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yes. Have an amazing day.
And thank you for the teaching.
Share some hugs.
Amen.
Give you one.
Oops.
My buddy. My buddy. My buddy.